Remaining standing, let us pray. Open our eyes, O Lord, to see your presence in one another and in the world and people about us. Open our hearts to your grace, to your truth, to your kingdom as we make our journey through Lent, Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter. And empower us by your Holy Spirit to be your faithful servants, your faithful presence and witness in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated, please. Well, first I want to take just a moment, personal privilege, I guess to introduce myself, because this is my first official visit here. I have visited here once before to meet with folks about companions in mission. And I was really impressed because I didn't know much about St. Paul's, and I came in and saw this lovely worship space and the facilities, and I certainly admire your rector and the clergy serving here, not only here, but throughout the diocese. I grew up in Vicksburg, Mississippi, on the Mississippi River, and often referred to as the Gibraltar of the Confederacy. Well, it was. It was something else during the Civil War, the way people dug caves in the sides of hills and survived eating, quite frankly, cats and dogs and horses. It was a pretty awful siege, but that's not what I'm here to share with you. I attended Ole Miss, where 20 years later I came back and was the chaplain at the University of Mississippi, better known as Ole Miss. I went from Ole Miss and served 4.5 years in the Navy during the Cuban crisis. Fortunately, did not see action. I give thanks for that to this very day. Went straight from the Navy to seminary and went to the University of South Sewanee, to St. Luke's Seminary there, which I loved, and made a deal with myself before I went that if I didn't, you know, I wanted the Lord to tap me on the shoulder and to tell me, and I wanted to see a burning bush. Well, I didn't get the burning bush. He probably tapped me on the shoulder a number of times before I realized it. But the first year in seminary was just wonderful. I knew I was in the right place. I was doing the right thing. It felt right. I'd made a deal with myself that if it did not work out, I was going to tuck my wings and head back home, but that didn't happen. At any rate, I have served in Mississippi as a priest for almost 20 years and then was called to East Carolina, where I served with Sid Sanders as his assistant for 8 years and lived in Kinston, and then was called back and elected Bishop of Mississippi and served as Bishop of Mississippi for 10 years, a couple of years as coadjutor before that. And when I retired, I began to call bishops around the church to say, look, I'm not ready to hang it up yet. I would like to serve, but I don't want to be full-time. It's hard to be part-time, by the way. But I talked to Gary Gloucester, and Gary Gloucester said he was going to retire and would love to come back and serve half-time for a few more years. And maybe I could be the other half of Gary Gloucester. So you're looking at the other half of Gary Gloucester, who I really hold in deep affection. And still, we talk weekly. We touch base weekly. But I came and interviewed, and I have loved working with Michael Curry and Gary Gloucester at the time, of course, and now Bill Gregg. It has been a joy and a privilege to be an extension of his episcopacy. And so I bring you greetings, of course, from Michael and Gary and Bill Gregg. So it's been a privilege and joy. I can't believe I'm completing my sixth year as an assisting bishop here. It's getting to be a long tenure. When it started, we made an agreement that we'd do 1 year at a time and just see how things go. Well, I'll be beginning my seventh year this summer, so I don't know. Maybe there's a seventh-year stretch in there somewhere. But it's good to be with you on this, my first official visit. And there is a large group to be confirmed and received both at this service and at the next service. So I give thanks for that. Our scriptures today I'm going to kind of touch on, but I want to share with you a reading from Desmond Tutu about God's dream. And Desmond Tutu has certainly been one of my mentors, not so much personally, although I've been to several conferences where he was keynoter, and he came to Greensboro and met with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the first in the country that I was involved with. He came and met with us twice. The scriptures for today, I like to think of the Old Testament lesson as a good witness to living in gratitude. Live a life of gratitude for the deliverance of the people told to bring the first fruits. And they really are God's fruits that we have as stewards in trust. So bring first fruits as an act of thanksgiving and gratitude. So living life out of gratitude, no matter what comes your way, live it out of gratitude, because God has been very gracious, and all that we have belongs to Him. All that we are belongs to Him. And my guess is we probably just don't always do a good job of living into what we have been gifted with. The epistle is about believing in your heart and having faith that God was and is in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and being willing to give witness to that, give witness to the faith that we have, and commending that to other persons, bringing them into the faith community. We call it evangelism. It was really sharing the good news with someone who doesn't know the Lord and bringing that person into relationship in his faith community. And the gospel, of course, Jesus is driven into the wilderness, and we all have our wilderness wanderings. And we're in the Lenten wilderness now, which is a time to reflect. It's a time to evaluate. I like to say it as bumping up against the kingdom of God. How are we doing? How are you doing? How am I doing as a bearer of God's kingdom? It's a tough measure, but it's one we need to make because that's who we are. We're bearers of God's kingdom, nothing less. You know, it's like I've rediscovered the gospel in the last few years. And the gospel really is Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. He didn't come proclaiming himself. He said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, for the kingdom of God has come near. Wherever Jesus was, there was the kingdom of God, with forgiveness, with healing, with compassion, even, yes, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind. Wherever his disciples were, there was the kingdom of God. And quite frankly, as disciples, and that's who we are, we're not just church members. We are disciples of the risen Lord. And wherever we are, we give witness to the inbreaking of God's kingdom, and we bear forth the kingdom in our lives. Now, if you take that seriously, it will make a difference. And I don't mean self-righteously. but I do mean seriously and intentionally. And I guess if I left you with any thought during this Lenten season, it would be to say, how are you bearing forth the kingdom of God in your life? With whom? Where? I want to read to you from Desmond Tutu's book, God Has a Dream. I commend it to you. And this is from Desmond Tutu. Dear child of God, before we can become God's partners, we must know what God wants for us. I have a dream, God says. Please help me to realize it. It is a dream of a world whose ugliness and squalor and poverty, its war and hostility, its greed and harsh competitiveness, its alienation and disharmony, are changed into their glorious counterparts, when there will be more laughter, joy, peace, where there will be justice and goodness and compassion and love and caring and sharing. I have a dream that swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, that my children will know that they are members of one family, the human family, God's family, my family. In God's family, there are no outsiders. All are insiders, black and white, rich and poor, gay and straight, Jew and Arab, Palestinian and Israeli, Roman Catholic and Protestant, Serb and Albanian, Hutu and Tutsi, Muslim and Christian, Buddhist and Hindu, Pakistani and Indian, all belong. Sometimes we shocked them at home in South Africa when we said the apartheid state president and I, whether we liked it or not, were brothers, and I had to desire and pray for the best for him. Jesus said, If I be lifted up, will draw all to me. Not some, but all. And it is a radical thing that Jesus says that we are members of one family. We belong. So Arafat and Sharon belong together. Yes, George Bush and Osama bin Laden belong together. God says, all are my children. It is shocking. It is radical. We have heard of God's dream from his prophets throughout history, and in modern times, from great leaders and humanitarians like Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi. King spoke of it from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963. When he dreamed of the day that the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners in Georgia and Mississippi would be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. Gandhi wrote about it in 1929 when he stated that his goal was not just the brotherhood of Indian humanity, but the brotherhood of man. Today they would have referred to daughters and sisterhood, too. The vision and triumph of these prophets of God helped change their nations and inspire the rest of us around the world in our struggle for equality. Now, I don't want to preach a gospel of fear, but I think we're at a very critical juncture in our world community. Martin Luther King Jr. said, we either will learn to live together and respect, as we say in the baptismal covenant, the dignity of every human being, even those very different from us, or we will destroy one another. I want to say the good news is that you and I are grounded in the kingdom of God. We don't have to fear anybody or anything. I've been with death a lot the last few weeks, with dying persons and funerals. Kind of has reminded me of my mortality as Ash Wednesday came this week. I like to think of death as entering the fullness of the kingdom of God that we already know. We already know something about God's kingdom. It's here. Not up there, not out there. It's here. It's undergirds our us. It's within us. Now, during this Lenten season, I would also ask you to evaluate where you are as a kingdom bearer, what you're doing, what you're giving witness to in your life and your journey. Carve out some time for God to be present to you. Read deeply of His scriptures and meditate on them. Carve out time each day. Secondly, get a relationship with a person very different from you, one or two persons that you ordinarily would not be in relationship to. Be a bridge builder. A bridge builder. Thirdly, there are many organizations who work for social justice, who bring together people from various walks and various faiths and various ethnicities. Get involved. Make a difference. A church on mission is really carrying forth God's kingdom and giving witness to it. Or it's a club. I don't want to be a member of a club, and I hope you don't either. Give thanks for the witnesses of so many people down through the years who have worked for justice and equality for God's kingdom. And let's do it too. Amen.